Once again, a beautiful day, beautiful singing. What an honor and privilege it is to be here this morning as his people gathered before him. We are thankful to be here. Just something about I know it's not technically spring yet, but just a beautiful Sunday. It feels like spring. Beautiful weather, especially after a lot of cold and wet and dark weather. Just something about the first day of the week and coming together as God's people just makes it really, really special. So we're grateful that you're here to the visitors. We are very grateful that you made that decision to be here among us. It encourages us, and I pray that we are an encouragement to you. And if you have any questions about anything, please don't hesitate to ask. Now, this morning's lesson is a how-to, if you will. And then, of course, we're talking about this year about walking worthy. And so you saw the title, Walking Worthy and Why. So this is a how-to lesson for us to do that, how to walk worthy and how to walk. Is this working all right? How to walk wise. It seems like it's down a little. That just might be me. But sometimes we want to do these things. You know, I want to walk worthy. I want to walk wise. But how do I do it? And the Lord gives us a wonderful lesson in the book of Ephesians. And so we're going to look at that. And we're going to see in that something that is repeated throughout the book of Ephesians. And it's very interesting study to look at Ephesians this way and think about immediate goals, intermediate goals, and then final goals. And this was a little trick, this mindset that I've used several times in my life, and I used it the very first time when I went to Marine Corps boot camp. You know, after about a day there, I'm like, I made a very bad decision. I do not want to be here. This is going to be awful. Right? And I had 3 months to go, and not only that, I had 3 months of infantry school, so 6 months. And I come to learn that infantry school made boot camp look kind of fun. And so what I decided to do is set immediate goals. And I knew if I could just make it to the next meal, I'd be okay. Whatever I had to go through. Right? You'd eat at 6, 12, and 5, whatever it was. If I could just make it to the next meal, I'll be okay. That was my immediate goal. My intermediate goal was probably just don't get in trouble. Right? Don't stand out. You don't want to stand out. Just do what everyone's doing. And then, of course, my long-term goal was to graduate. And it worked, and it helped things go by pretty quick, and ended up using that method many times. I remember using it when I went to the police academy. I had to drive away from Christy and Paige, who was a baby at that time, for 3 months. I was gone. You know, we got to come back some Fridays and Saturdays, but I was, 6 hours away. I use it when I was over in Iraq, even to a degree in preaching school, right? When they say they're cramming 4 years of college in 2 years, they're not kidding, right? And I thought, well, I'll do my immediate, intermediate, long-term goals like that, and it makes everything go by pretty quick. And, that's just something that I found to help me. And, anything that takes a lot of time or it's difficult, I encourage you to try that. You know, when we think about the Christian walk, it can be lengthy and difficult, right? It's not easy. It's not meant to be. Matter of fact, that's why a lot of people give up. This is too long. This is too difficult. I don't get to do what I want to do. Right? And so maybe if you're here and you're struggling with your faith, I hope that you pay attention, right? And use this how-to this morning on how to be successful in your faith. Not easy, but successful. And I want you to note something, even as Ephesians begins, Ephesians chapter 1. Listen, in our personal lives, in our spiritual lives, we need to set goals for success. And I want you to think about this, what we see here in our text, just getting us started here. We need to see short-term, intermediate, and long-term goals. Our short-term goal needs to be to be like Christ every day. Chapter 1, and verse 6 of Ephesians, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. And then our intermediate goal, same chapter, verse 13, in him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Right? Now my intermediate goal is to grow in the knowledge of the Lord. Number one, be like Christ every day, more and more. And I hope that's your prayer when you wake up in the morning. Lord, help me to be like Jesus today. Help me be successful today. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow's going to have its own trouble and worries. Right? Let it be your prayer after you glorify God. Say, let me be like Jesus today. And that's your immediate goal. Intermediate, I need to take in the Word of God. I need to learn as much as I can about the will of God to be successful. And then, of course, that long-term goal is to receive that inheritance. Verse 14, speaking of Jesus, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. Now, with our theme of walking worthy this year, our text here that we're going to be looking at, it was our scripture reading earlier, this is how to do that. But first here, I want to lay a little bit of groundwork. Just a little bit of groundwork. Listen, the term walk or walking, it's a continuous theme throughout your whole Bible, but more specifically here in the book of Ephesians. Matter of fact, when I counted 188 times that idea of walk or walking is in your Bible. And of course, it's talking about our behavior before the Lord, right? That's what it's really talking about. But to help us better understand this with our theme for the year, just a few passages here to get our mind thinking like this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 12 reminds us. It says, so that you would walk in a manner worthy of the God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. And the text is going to go on and tell us how to walk worthy by exhorting and encouraging and imploring one another. What about Colossians? We get a good example. It tells us in chapter 2 and verse 6 to walk in him. And then the text tells us you do that by being rooted, being built up, being instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. And we're going to see this as a theme when we look at our main text in chapter 5 of Ephesians. In chapter 3, at verse 17, the book of Philippians tells us that we have a pattern to follow as we walk, saying, brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. And just one of many, many, many Old Testament examples, Psalm 119, verse 35, make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. And so the point that we see is that we choose where we walk, how we walk, and the purpose of our walking. And so let that walk be done in Christ Jesus. Because as that prophet of old, Jeremiah, reminds us, chapter 10, verse 35, you know, we don't know how to guide our own walk. Right? We have God to set that walk before us. And we need to be very intentional in that. Now, we're going to lay down the groundwork just a little bit more. I want you to note something in the book of Ephesians. It's a fascinating book, right? It's a sister book to Colossians. And where Colossians is emphasizing more Christ, and Ephesians is emphasizing more the church. And there's just a lot, and I threw a few up here on the screen, these contrasts and comparisons for a teaching mode. Right? And so we're being reminded of what we were outside Christ, who we were before Christ, what we did not have outside of Christ compared to now who we are in Christ and what we have in Christ and in those contrast comparisons. In other words, you used to walk this way. You'd walk for self. Right? You're walking to fulfill the desires of the flesh. You were doing what you wanted to do for your own selfish reasons. But now, You have a different purpose.
You have a different calling. Now your walk is about God. It's about glorifying God in Christ. Right? It's different now. You know, I used to be unwise or foolish, but now I'm wise. I'm going to walk circumspectly. I'm not going to be foolish. Right? And the things that I did before were unworthy. Right? That's no longer me in Christ.
And so by showing contrast, we learn a lot. And even in these contrasts, we read that we were once dead in our trespasses. There in chapter 2 and verse 1. And verse 17, same chapter, we were once far off, but now we're made near. Right? We were dead in our trespasses, made alive. We were far off, now we're made near. Same chapter, verse 19, we were strangers and aliens to the land of promise, but now we're fellow citizens and fellow heirs of the promise. Right? Wise and unwise. In other words, responsible. I think here's a way to look at all this. Responsible versus irresponsible living. We want to walk worthy and wise. Understand that. Right? And so we see the terms walk and walking throughout this book. And again, just by way of understanding the context here, chapter 2 and verse 2, again, how we used to walk in our pre-Christian life, and that was according to the prince of darkness. But now in verse 10, we walk in good works, right? The new self, the new man walks in good works because we now understand why we were created. In chapter 4 says, now walk in a manner worthy of your calling, verse 1. And then in verse 17 of that chapter, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of the mind, in the emptiness of the mind. Right? We used to walk like that. That used to describe us, but not anymore. Right? I've been redeemed, chapter 1 and verse 7 of Ephesians. I have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I have a calling now. I get to start all over. Right? So if you're here this morning and you're struggling with your faith, right? You're being honest in that personal inventory. Right? I've been struggling and struggling and struggling. I want to do what's right, but I keep doing what's wrong. Listen, we have a very clear how-to in this, very practical. Right? It's not a mystery in the sense that we cannot know how to do it. And I guarantee if you do it the way God tells you to do it, it works every time. It absolutely works every time. And I want you to keep that in mind. Chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, be imitators of God. Now, remember our short-term goal daily. As beloved children, and walk in love just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. Verse 8, walk as children of the light. And verse 15 tells us to be careful how we walk or to walk circumspectly. And so this leads us into our main study text. Chapter 5, beginning in verse 15. The study text here on how to walk worthy and wise and setting goals for success or living responsible. Chapter 5, verse 15. Look at verse 15 here. Let's read it together. I want you to note this. See then that you, I'm reading out of New King James, see that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. There's one of those contrasts, right? But be careful how you walk. Right? Set your daily goal. Be careful how you walk. I want to walk like Jesus. Right? He saved me. He's prepared me for good works, chapter 2 and verse 10. I want to walk like Jesus today, and I need to be very careful in that. Are you going to do it like Jesus? No, right? None of us can. But make it your goal, and you'll be more and more like him the more and more you fill in that intermediate goal of learning the will of God. Right? Then it just becomes part of who you are. And we can be successful in doing that, right? And so, of course, the second goal, that intermediate goal, if you will, is Understand what the will of the Lord is, verse 17. Right? In both of these, we do this to please God, to honor God, to glorify God, and these are going to help us make it to our long-term goal, which is heaven. Our goal is to be with the Lord for eternity, because listen, you cannot stay. You cannot stay. You cannot stay. Judgment Day is real, and it's absolutely coming. That's if we live that long. We need to be prepared. And this is that preparation. Right? And as we talk about these things, and if it's hurt in your heart, listen, that's a good thing. That's the Word of God working in your heart, convicting you to start doing these things the way that God designed. Right? This is our map, if you will, our compass, the how and the where we walk and the why we walk. Again, I keep going back to chapter 2, verse 10, for we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works. Right? And so we see our purpose here, created by God beforehand that we should walk in them. And again, in chapter 1 and verse 12, we see that we who first trusted in Christ Jesus should be to the praise of His glory. Right? We're created to imitate Christ daily. Right? We're created to walk in good works. And this is what pleases God. Now, please Him with our short-term and intermediate goals to gain that long-term goal of heaven. And in chapter 5, verse 17, we walk wise by making the most of our God-given time. Right? Spending time wisely. We're not wasting time. Listen, the old man, the old self, was foolish and unwise and wasted his time. Right? The new man, the new self that Paul writes about in this book, makes the best use of his time. There in verse 17, we're not to be foolish. The old self, right, was one that did foolish, unwise things before they came to an understanding of the will of God and submitting to the will of God. And then in verse 18, I want you to note here, do not get drunk with wine, your translation might say. Like mine in the New King James. Now, what Paul is doing here, he's making a play on words to emphasize a point. Right? He's emphasizing responsible living. In other words, walking worthy and wise. Now listen to this. He's saying, and he's using drinking wine here as one of the most irresponsible things that you could do. Right? Don't be filled with this wine, but be filled with this, the Spirit. Right, that's what the old unwise man did, walking for self. But now the wise that's going to use that God-given time is going to be filled with the Spirit. Right, that drink of wine, that just represents the old self, just wasted time. Right, the old self, though, was crucified with Christ. That's not me anymore. Right, the old self who Christ died for to help us get rid of that old darkness and sin, right? That's gone. So walking wise now, I'm going to give my time to Christ, doing good works for Him, right? And that's going to help me accomplish my short-term, intermediate, and long-term goals. And so I want you to note this here in verse 18. It says, for this is dissipation. King James says excess. Some say debauchery. But the word here means such things that they're ungodly. It's an ungodly use of your precious God-given time. Right? The new man who walks in a manner worthy of Christ, who died for us, does not spend his time foolishly drinking wine. Getting drunk with wine represents that old manner of life, the life that I lived. Before I realized why I was created, again, chapter 2 and verse 10, before I knew my purpose in this life. So then the new man walks wise and instead is filled with the Spirit. Right? The contrast to getting drunk with wine is to be filled with the Spirit. Being filled with the Spirit represents a new manner of life,
I've put on, right, the new clothes of Christ I've put on. So in our Christian walk, we determine how we will walk. We get to choose that. Are we going to do it God's way, or are we going to try to do it our way or man's way? Are we going to allow the Spirit of God to direct our path, to direct our walk? Short term, again, imitate Christ. Intermediate goal, right? Learn the will of God. Understand what the will of God is to help us with that long-term goal of making it to heaven. So in our Christian walk, we need to set those goals. Now what we see here in our text, after all of these contrasts and comparisons throughout the book are given to us, we're given instructions on how to accomplish our goals. Right? He never tells us what to do without telling us how to do it. So here's the specific how-to. We're going to look at three things briefly here. Don't worry, I'm not starting a whole new sermon here. We're going to look at three things briefly, and I encourage you, if you do these three things, you'll strengthen your faith. If you got a weak faith, it'll strengthen your faith. If you got a teetering faith, it's going to help you. If you've got a strong faith, it's going to strengthen your faith even more. Right? These aren't my words. I didn't come up with this list. This is God telling us. This is how we reach those goals. And so Paul there at the end of verse 18, he gives a command. In the language of the New Testament, this is an imperative. This is a command. Be filled with the Spirit. And then he's going to give us three participles on how to fulfill that command. And in the English language, usually those words end in an ing, right? So anytime you see that, it's a great study tool. We talked about in our Bible class as an example this morning, right? The Great Commission, right? At the end of Matthew, right? When the command there is to make disciples. Well, the participles are how to carry out that command to make disciples, right? Baptizing and teaching, right? ing words. So just kind of a side note, you're ever studying the Bible, you get a command, and if you see a series of ing words after that, it's telling you how to carry out the command. So just a little study thing there. And so we see that right here. It's no different. Command, be filled with the Spirit. In other words, how to walk wise. In other words, how to walk responsibly in your faith. Verse 19, speaking to one another. Verse 20, giving thanks always. Verse 21, submitting to one another. So look at that first one here real quick. Speaking to one another, right? If you want to walk wise, you need to be speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So this is not only telling us the importance of singing and its spiritual implications, but I think we can also infer from the text here that we need to first come together to do so. Listen, you can't sing and be filled with the Spirit if you don't gather with the church. Right? There's no being filled with the Spirit in that sense if you're not gathering with the church. Right? So we got a lot in here. We've got responsibility to assemble with the saints. Maybe that's why your faith is struggling. Right, and you're in the mindset, maybe out of habit, you know, 1.5 hours a week is enough for my faith. Something to think about. We cannot speak to one another if we don't gather together first. Right, and you know, if we don't gather, we can't sing. If we can't sing, we won't be edified, and we can't fulfill this command to be filled by the Spirit. It just is what it is. Now, remember that the old time, or the old man, used to waste time. The old self was unwise and just wasted time. Right? Anything other than gathering with the body of Christ, when that body is gathered, let me tell you, it's waste time. Oh no, but you don't know how much I love hunting. Oh, you just don't understand how much joy I get in sleeping in on Sunday. You just don't know how much I just need time off to be by myself. Listen, that's unwise. That is not walking circumspectly. Right? That's the old self.
Right? That died when you obeyed the gospel. And listen, God's people are a singing people. We can't say enough about the importance of worship and fellowship. The importance of coming together and singing. It's so much of who we are and how we interact with one another and interact with God. And yes, God is the audience when we sing, but we're also building each other up when we sing. Hebrews 13 and verse 15 says, "Through him then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of the lips that give thanks to his name." In Colossians 3 and verse 19, we see that we encourage one another in song. It builds us up so we can learn in all of this that, one way to be filled with the Spirit is come together and worship and fellowship and sing to God and edify one another in that song. The new man is a singing man. The new self is a singing self. Right, since I've been made near, as he says a little early in the book, and I'm no longer a stranger, but now since I'm an heir to the promise of God, I sing. So let us determine as a goal to sing more, sing with the Spirit, sing with the understanding, honor our God, and encourage one another in song. Number two in our how-to, is giving thanks always. On how to be filled with the Spirit. In verse 20 here of Ephesians chapter 5, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, back in verse 1 again, we're told to be imitators of God. And if we're to imitate God, Jesus constantly prayed. Right, we could look through his life. He was always praying, every situation, for many different reasons. He prayed before he was baptized. He prayed in the desert, fasting 40 days. Right, he prayed in the garden before his death and while on the cross. And he even prayed for those who were executing him. So Jesus is our greatest example. Greatest example, pray always for all things. Right? We are to give thanks always to be filled with the Spirit. If you're struggling with your faith, maybe that's the issue. You're not talking to God enough. Right? Listen, and I know we struggle sometimes. I don't know what to say. Romans chapter 8, I encourage you to read it. Listen, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, will help, will intercede for you. He'll translate, if you will, because God knows what's on your heart. And this goes along with the third one we're going to look at in a minute. Listen, if you're not humble, you won't pray. Humble yourself before Almighty God, and he will lift you up. The new manner of life is a praying life, so to walk wise and worthy, I need to be praying. And we need to be a praying people. Pray without ceasing, 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 17. All right. Number three, finally, this morning. And this is the hardest one, I think. Submitting. Submit to one another. Listen, Christianity is a religion of submission. And we don't like that. None of us do. We do not like the idea of submitting to anyone or anything for the most part. Right? And unless we're mature in the faith. Listen, it's all about submission. The old man, the old self, the old way of life was a life of pride and arrogance. Who do you think you are telling me what to do? Oh, no, I determine what Sean does. But that was the old unwise self. The new self, the wise self, submits to God. Submits to Christ, submits to baptism, submits to the eldership. Submits to one another in love. Right? And that's hard for us. And that's very, very difficult. Submitting to one another in the fear of Christ. Your translation might say, in the fear of the Lord. Right? And I want you to note the authority behind this command. Right? Authority is given to us because our reaction, you know, might be, you mean I got to submit to you? Well, yeah. And the answer is yes. Why? Well, because of fear of God. Right? And that is in the name of and in the fear of the Lord, right? We're to humble ourselves, to serve one another. Listen, you're not going to love as Christ loved if you don't know what it means to be humble. Right? Being humble is lowering yourself in order to lift somebody else up. In other words, you know, another way to look at that is agape love. Given for the benefit of somebody else. And again, remember, Christ is our greatest example. Real quick over here in the book of Philippians, and the good a good motif or theme for the book of Philippians is putting others above self. And we read in chapter 1, verse 27, only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel. Chapter 2, Paul writes of the greatest example of submitting in all of human history. Chapter 2, verses 7 and 8, but he, talking of Christ, made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death on the cross. Right? This is true submission. And we would be walking wise to imitate that. Remember, our daily immediate goal is to be like Christ every day. What did he exemplify? A humble, submissive attitude. Now, I'd like to add on that is, you can't be humble unless you're strong. Listen, you can't be humble physical strength-wise unless you're strong. You can't be humble in interactions with others unless you're strong. You can't be humble in knowledge. Unless you're strong in knowledge. You can't be humble in love unless you are strong in love. You cannot be humble in compassion unless you're strong in compassion. You can't be humble in leadership unless you're strong in leadership. You got to be strong in those areas because you're going to give up that portion of your strength for the benefit of somebody else. Listen, if you're weak, you can't be humble. In whatever particular area it is. We're talking about God in the flesh. He gave up the glory of heaven to come down here and be with mere men and to experience what he experienced for our benefit. That is humility. Christianity is a religion of submitting. So by way of conclusion this morning, so what do we learn from here in Ephesians chapter 5? Well, you know, we need to understand that these things are going to help us accomplish our goals, right? Help us to walk worthy and wise, right? Just simple, basic how-tos. I guarantee if you do what we're being taught right here, you're going to grow in your faith. What I want you to do when you wake up, I mean, you can do it right now, Lord. I pray that I glorify you and I honor you with the remainder of my day. But try to get into the habit of waking up in the morning. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Help me imitate Jesus today. Help me be successful today. And Lord, in that, help me to know what your will is, to be filled with the knowledge that you have revealed to us in your word, so I can be more like Jesus every day. You know, because I need heaven. Listen, if your religion... Your religion needs to be a necessity. And I think sometimes, for different reasons, our religion has become a luxury and not a necessity. When you can see the end, when you're aware of the end, when you're reminded of the end, you get that mindset of, I need to prepare. I need to be ready for the day I die or when Jesus returns, you know, whichever happens first. Listen, we cannot approach this as a hobby. We cannot approach our faith as something we do on the side, because we will never be prepared, and we're going to continue to fall down in our faith. We're never going to mature to where we need to be. This morning, if you're here and you've never obeyed the gospel, that's where the journey begins. Right? You got to choose to love God. You're going to serve Him with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Right? It's the journey that you choose before God. And don't choose it unless you've considered the cost. This is not easy. Once you've made that choice, you know, I need to get right with God. Let us help you in that. If you need to put on Christ in baptism with a response of faith, we can do that this morning. Or we can sit down, open up the Word of God. We can study that a little bit further. We'd love to help you in that journey. Or maybe you've done that journey and your heart is being cut right now. You know that you've walked away from the Lord. You've been living an irresponsible life. But be thankful to God. He's given you this opportunity to come home. We'd love to help you with that. If you have any needs spiritually, don't hesitate. Let somebody know as we stand, as we sing.